All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. Ladies, let's talk real talk here. You probably have days when the PMS has you feeling like you could eat anything in sight. My goodness, the cravings and the general discomfort. Well, say goodbye to those days with Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth. Let's dive into why Hormone Harmony is not just another supplement, but a true game changer. First off, it's not just a trend, it's a phenomenon. Social media is buzzing with women singing praises about Hormone Harmony. In fact, a bottle flies off the shelves every 24 seconds. Can y'all believe that? Now let's talk about Happy Mammoth, the brilliant minds behind this wonderful product. They're all about making your life easier, and that means no compromises on quality. They've meticulously crafted Hormone Harmony using only science-backed ingredients proven to work wonders for women like us. But here's my favorite part. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, nature's little miracle workers. These herbal extracts help your body adapt to life stressors, especially those pesky hormonal changes that can throw us off balance. And here's the kicker. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. It's your secret weapon against those hormonal imbalances that can wreak havoc on your life. From hot flashes and night sweats to racing thoughts and low moods, Hormone Harmony has got your back. And yes, it even tackles the occasional bloat and that not tonight boo feeling. The real benefit here, the real win, feeling like yourself again. That's why countless women are raving about it in over 17,000 glowing reviews. We love a verified product, honey. Now here's your chance to experience the magic firsthand. For a limited time, you can get a fabulous 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BRAVADO at checkout. So what are you waiting for, homegirl? Say hello to balanced hormones and goodbye to those days of feeling like a roller coaster. Your journey to hormone harmony starts now. This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Blacker Bravado Podcast,
a motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, mental health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, when we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our intention is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, homegirls, welcome back.
Welcome back, Bravado Babes.
How's it going?
It's going good. How was your weekend?
It's not going good over here.
Oh, I know. It's not. That's just my automated response.
My weekend.
Ooh, yeah, we're tired.
What happened?
Emotionally, we're tired.
Nothing happened this weekend. Mm-mm. Saturday?
Yeah. We did some content creating.
Oh, that yeah. That's all we did. But it's been a heavy weekend and a heavy week.
Yeah.
To be honest, can't even deny it. It has been heavy as fuck, mm-hmm. which we're sure you all can relate over here in this community because we be on the same page. If we're not, get off, get out the book.
Yeah, just put it back on the shelf.
Get out.
You're not reading what we're reading.
Period.
Ain't so, a book club vibe.
So, yeah. How was your weekend?
I had a pretty chill weekend as well. You know, chilled on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Sunday, I went out for the first time. Went to a little quarantine concert, mm-hmm. Which was nice and a little healing through music and fellowship. So that was cool.
Speaking of healing through music, I guess new week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we.
So the verses, the healing verses took place this weekend on Sunday. Mm-hmm. This has been the best verses yet.
This was the best?
The best.
Better than Erica and Jay?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I need
it
to tap
different.
In.
Ooh. It hit different, especially during these trying ass times. Like, first of all, Kirk Franklin, Uncle Kirk is a goat. Ain't no denying that. Fred Hammond, I'm not even gonna lie, I didn't know all of his songs. I knew all of Kirk's. I knew Fred's bangers, you know, right. His hits.
Right.
But they had
Marvin
Sapp.
Listen. What? Marvin Sapp came in the chat.
They were in the same spot. They did a kind of Beanie Man and
And Bounty Killer.
Bounty Killer style. Yeah. They were in the same place.
I like it that way.
I love it that way. So there were no sound issues. Crystal clear sound.
Did they sing a few of their songs?
Fred was singing.
Okay.
You know Kirk don't sing.
Because Beanie Man and Bounty Killer.
Yeah,
were.
You know Kirk don't sing.
Yeah, I know.
But Marvin Sapp sung. He did Never Would Have Made It.
Oh, my. Oh, don't talk to me anymore about this because I'm going to watch
he
it.
He did Never Would Have Made It. Tamela Mann came on what? And sung.
Take Me to the King.
Take Me to the King, bitch.
Oh, my God.
I had my hands up. I said, I don't have much to bring. I am torn in pieces and here's my offering.
Take me. Wow.
Take
okay.
Me to the
I
king.
Will be listening to that tonight.
We also got
Take Me to the King.
Once the what? Never Would Have Made It and Take Me to the King came.
You were in tears?
Yes. I was in tears. I'm like, and it also felt like my soul had been taken to the laundry mat.
Yeah.
It was so refreshing. And I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. we've been missing that. We haven't been able to be in church. Of yeah. course, I've been watching church on the live stream. But
the live music, I mean, well, that wasn't live, but I get it. It's just the essence of church music, gospel.
Exactly.
Rings true, because that's how I was feeling yesterday. We were playing gospel music and the singers were singing. And I'm like, you know what? I've been missing hearing a live drum.
Yeah.
I've been listening. I've been missing hearing somebody say, Lord, I've been missing. I've been missing. You know how yeah. they do that. G. Lord.
Yeah, there was no live instrument, God. But the live vocal. Because we know Tamela Mann, she's effortless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Marvin
yeah.
Sapp as well. He tore it down.
Yeah.
Okay,
you oh, I can't
me?
Wait to listen.
And so he's able. Jesus be a fence. I mean, there was just.
Song after song.
We were in the comments. People, everybody was in the comments saying, yes, Lord. Use them, Lord.
Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. How many people were in this verses?
275,000.
Okay. Smaller group.
Yeah. You yeah. know, yeah. smaller.
More niche
we
audience.
We didn't have all the secular. Yeah, but Fred Hammond said that Kirk Franklin is a secular saint. And then they also did, like, they played some of the songs they had with Kanye West, Ultra Light Beam. Mm-hmm. Fred Hammond has a song with Kanye on Sunday, on Jesus is King. Mm-hmm. So.
They both secular saints.
Yeah, they were both secular saints. I think they said that too. But
okay. Well, that's good. I'm going to
talk to you. That was the highlight of my weekend. That was a good part of my weekend, good. That the versus battle. But we've been battling for real, for real. Like, yeah. All jokes aside, this has been a difficult fucking week.
It's been a difficult fucking year.
It has.
We've been literally, we done had our boxing gloves on this whole time. I'm like, let me out of the ring.
I done got my ass beat, got back God. Up and got it beat again. Damn, I'm like, okay, can you stop?
The stand knocked down 9 times, but we stand up 10. The 10th time is tiring.
Right.
The tiring 10th. Yeah. Shit.
With the police brutality, last Monday, George Floyd, killed by a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're tired.
We can't take anything else. This was the straw that broke the motherfucking camel's
this
back.
This was definitely the straw that broke the camel's back.
Because now the rebellion has started.
It's okay.
It's
right
being
now.
Televised.
Yeah.
For show. For show. And you know, I mean, we need people to discuss what the fuck is going on and make some real fucking changes.
Yeah.
And the people who have been silent, we see you.
We definitely do.
We see you. And thanks, not thanks, because you know what? This is what you should be doing.
Yeah.
To the brands and the big businesses who stepped up and said something about their stance on police brutality against Black people and said, Black Lives Matter, period, poo.
That's the first step, because I saw another post and I was like, I agree with this. It needs to be bigger than saying Black Lives Matter. That's the first step for sure. And we appreciate that. But also, get some Black lives
in your businesses.
In your
diversify
business. Yes.
your executive boards.
Yes.
And the people who are making decisions. Because I seen that as well about Nike. They were like, Nike, this is good, but do you have Black executives on your teams?
Right.
Like, do you have Black people who are running shit in your departments?
Yes.
That's what we want to see.
That's
Black lives matter.
See.
Black minds matter.
For real.
Shit.
Are we addressing the microaggressions in your company?
Right.
The employees that are getting away with this shit that are having to be checked by people like me who have to turn the Angela Davis on and off in the workplace.
Yeah. Lord Jesus. I ain't trying to
There's
do that all the
time.
There's
a lot of systems that need to be broken down.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the government systems, the systems that are in place at these major corporations and these businesses.
Yeah.
It needs to be addressed. We're fucked. And we're
and
tired.
And we're tired. More than anything, we are motherfucking tired. We're fucking tired.
Both.
That's what we're tired of doing.
We're so tired. And I'm like, you know what? I hope that people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Open up your eyes.
Open up your ears.
Open up your eyes. Open up your ears. And
open up
your mind.
And your heart.
And your heart.
Okay.
Girl, today I was in Sprouts.
Girl.
We have curfews over here in Los Angeles, having to be in the house by 4 p.m. They didn't send out the National Guard. And Donald Trump is ready to turn the military against the civilians in this motherfucker. I was at Sprouts trying to get my groceries because we don't got time.
Right.
Like, we don't have time to do what we got to do.
Right, right, right.
And this white person looked at me and said, hi. I'm like, you're shaking in your boots, but shake. Shake. Shake, bitch.
Right.
Shake. Because
I'm glad that they're feeling a little tight in the ass and a little uncomfortable.
I'm glad too. I'm glad they're uncomfortable because we've been made to be uncomfortable for years.
400 to be exact.
We've been uncomfortable.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? So it's time for them to be uncomfortable. Yeah. I totally am okay with them being uncomfortable. And uncomfortability breeds change. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're uncomfortable, you change.
Yeah.
So,
and it's really sad that so many people who are allies, or you know, people who are on our side, the Hannahs, have to be like,
that's what we call them.
Yeah.
Like, so that, we have Karens and then we have the Hannahs. Karens.
Yeah.
Are not on our fucking side.
No.
The Amy Cooper, call them Amy's.
They're called Karens. That's your general name for
they're called racist.
Right. But people have been, you know, differentiating between white allies. Hannahs or Karens are the bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hannahs are people who happen to be white, you know, who are on our side. On
right.
Our side. So anywho, damn, you made me forget what the fuck I was saying.
You were saying the Hannahs were saying,
oh, it's unfortunate that white allies or people who are with us, the Hannahs, have to be like, Black Lives Matter, I donated to this cause. Like, when we got on a call today, we got on a call.
A business call,
and she was white, you know, and she was like, I'm really sorry about everything that's going on. Which, yes, you know, acknowledge our pain.
For
acknowledge
sure.
Our struggle. She was like, I'm really sorry about everything that's going on. It's really sad. I just want to let you know that I stand with you guys. I've donated. I'm going to a protest. I'm like, okay,
I'm
sis.
Like, let us know.
Okay,
do
sis.
That.
You're an ally. But everybody should be an ally is
yes.
What I'm saying. It's not, it shouldn't be no differentiation between this person and this person, or being like, I'm with you or I'm not.
This is like modern day putting up a little thing on your door when it was the Underground Railroad.
Yeah.
Like, blacks can
Stay here.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful for the allies, for sure.
I'm thankful for them, too. I just want everybody to be a fucking ally.
I totally agree. We shouldn't have to be holding up a flag like I'm an ally. It should just be general. Like, everyone's an ally.
Right. Because you know what? If fucking dogs were being beat down in the street and suffocated, you know what? Everybody would be... It would be a real issue.
Oh,
everybody would be out there. Yeah. It wouldn't be like only the all dogs matter lives. All lives dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be one group of people, only the pet lovers out there. People would be enraged. Like, I can't believe that fucking happened to that dog.
Right.
No matter where you stand on the spectrum, no matter race, color, creed.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? That's all I want. I want that same energy that you would give the pup.
I want that energy too. And we deserve that energy.
I seen Noah, Travis Noah, isn't his name?
Noah Trevor.
Oh my God. He had a video up, like so many other celebrities who are like offering their commentary on what's going on right now. And he was like, you know, I wish people would be as enraged about Amy Cooper's dog as they were about like everything else. He was like, they were swift to take action. They were like, actually, we want our dog back. You know, they took her dog.
They took her dog in her job.
They were not. He was like, it's one thing to lose your dog. He was like, but a white lady lost her dog. He was like, they were not playing. They were like, we want our dog back. We're coming to get him tonight.
Yeah.
We will rehome him. They were not fucking around.
And she deserves that shit.
I know. Could you imagine, though?
If someone takes my dog, I'm going to be shook. Like, I can't even keep my dog.
Exactly. But you see how quick that dog sanctuary, whatever, responded and was like, yeah, no, we're not fucking around. That dog's life mattered.
Yeah.
It almost died in her hands, in her care. So we are not playing around.
Right.
That's the energy I want people to have.
That same energy.
Be swift, quick to action. The fuck are we doing?
Yeah. And I hope they're sitting down and figuring it out. I mean, and I really hate to put all of my hope into the power that bee's hands, because they really don't give a fuck about us, even though we're protesting and making our voices be heard, like, you know, but
something needs to happen.
Some sort of change. A lot of change started just like this. Came from protest and shit being fucked up just like this.
Yeah. So in light of everything that's going on, we want to remind you to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Take some time away from social media if you have to. You definitely have to, because it's too much to take on all of this, y'all. We out here fighting in the streets and fighting online.
Okay.
We can't do it all. We can't do both.
There's been so many battles being fought online, and we've started to fight each other.
God, we can't do it all. So just make sure that you're mindful about your consumption, what you're taking in, whom you're taking in, because it's a lot. And just give yourself some grace.
Yes, rest if you must, but don't quit.
Okay, come on. Take it there. You know where else you can't quit on? These ratings and reviews.
Okay.
Ratings and reviews are extremely important for our show. It helps our show gain visibility. It also says, hey, these bitches are lit. You should listen too.
It helps amplify two black voices.
Yes, our message.
And we fought for this. We fight for this.
Okay. Take it there. Sister Slave.
I told y'all I've been getting on. They done made me
a revolutionist. So, make sure that you pause the podcast. You can subscribe. Say something nice in your rating and review. Say something nice. 5-star chicks deserve 5-star reviews.
We definitely do.
So, to show our appreciation, Brittany's going to read our review of the week.
I am. And this review really touched me.
Come on.
It was so sweet.
Which one?
So, it says gratitude.
This was cute.
Coming from, sorry, drum roll.
Jay is Bay.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Hey, homegirls. I've been listening since I was about 18, and I just recently turned 20 in May.
Happy birthday.
Taurus gang, happy birthday, boo-boo. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for this amazing podcast. I've never really been a social butterfly, but you two beautiful beings never fail to make me feel like we're all best friends. From the affirmations to the tea on the worst of days, the black girl bravado will always lift my spirits and put a smile on my face. Love y'all.
Love you.
We love you.
Thanks, Jay.
You growing up, girl.
Right. Our niecey poo.
You about to be 21.
I can't believe. No, she just turned
20. I know,
20.
But you know once we turn. You know we love.
I see what you're doing.
Right.
Hey, niecey poo. Thank you for
Thank you so much for taking the time to leave this review and for sticking with us for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
We love to see it.
So,
Patreon. Patreon is a platform that creators are using to garner support from their community. We have a nice, close-knit community over there. We share much more personal tea than we can give on this general platform. So if you like Knit Grit, if you like Girlfriend Time, times 10, join us over there. It's a monetary journey, but you get a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah, we just posted some grounding affirmations, visual and audio on there for our communities because we understand that this is a trying time. So we provided some useful resources for that. We did our Insecure recap. This was an amazing episode and we had a lot to say.
Yeah.
We're going to have our playlist going up. We got a lot happening over there. So yes, the show, the information is down in our show notes.
And we have special grounding tools that will be available soon.
Oh yeah. We do.
Some things that we know you'll love. Our patrons are getting first dibs.
We also just started our close friend story.
Oh, yes.
And our patrons are on it. So if you want to see what we got going on close friends on Instagram, then get on over in Patreon and we'll add you.
Yeah.
That's one of the perks.
So we're going to shout out our new patrons to show our love.
Okay, let's get it. Okay, we have Imani.
Hey, Imani, girl, what's good?
Patrice.
Hey, Patrice.
Janaea.
Hey, Janaea.
Brittany. Benzamar.
Oh, Benzamar. What a fancy fucking name. Benzamar.
Love Benzamar.
Hey, Benzamar.
Benz. I'll call her Benz.
Okay.
Ashley.
Hey, Ashley. Welcome to the gang.
And Nene.
Hey, Nene. We love to
Nene,
see
you. I believe. Nene.
We love y'all. Thank you so
Thank
much
you
for joining
Thank you all so much for
us.
Joining us over on Patreon. We greatly appreciate y'all. We are approaching our year mark on Patreon. Can y'all believe that?
Our Patreon-iversary.
Patreon for a year.
Wow. So, time flies when you're having fun.
Man, it does.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so last week's episode 144, we took a lighthearted approach. It was QTNAs, Am I the Asshole? So we did a Reddit special, which was really cool. We talked essentially about two articles, and we just asked a couple questions, which included, Am I the Asshole?
That's what we did.
And you know what? People have been telling me they are agreeing.
Yeah, people have.
They're agreeing with my stance on this issue. So if you want to hear what we talked about. And
someone said they would give the kids $25,000 each.
Good for them. Good for them. You'd be getting nothing in my book. My pocketbook is closed.
So some agreed, some didn't.
Some didn't agree. But if you want to hear my opinion and Brittany's opinion too, then make sure you listen to episode 144, QTNA, Am I the Asshole?
Yes.
So this week's episode.
So this week. In light of what is happening and what has been happening, to be quite honest, because this ain't new to us. We're true to this shit. We thought it would be fitting to bring on a mental health professional.
A male mental health professional.
To help us discuss coping mechanisms for the trauma, the racial trauma that we are dealing with right now. It's been heavy. It is a burden.
On us.
And
for
we
sure.
need tools. And you know, we all about tools for your toolkit. And sometimes we don't have all the tools. A lot of the times we do not. But thankfully, we have friends that do and that can assist us. And that's what we did today. We called on a friend. And it's very special that he's a Black male who's a mental health professional because, wow, we need more of those and we value them. So we hope that you all find what you need with this episode. Please share it.
Yes.
Please share this because our community needs it. And yeah.
Let us know what you think.
Buckle up.
Hold on to your titties. Let's get it.
All righty. Okay, y'all. So like we said earlier, we are dealing with some real trying times, but these times are not new to us. Racial trauma in general, racial injustices are something that we have been battling since we were stolen from our land and brought to this country. And so it's unfortunate that in 2020, we're still in this battle. But we recognize over here at the Black Girl Bravado that there is a mental health aspect that we have to take care of for ourselves because, like we said, this has been a long battle. It's nowhere near over.
Yeah, the marathon continues.
Yes.
I should have said that in my Lauren London. The marathon still continues.
Right. We understand that we need help. Like, we need assistance with this. We don't have to go through this alone in a place that we can find assistance is with mental health professionals.
Yes.
So today we called up one of our mental health professional friends, Alex Dorsey. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, Alex, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I thank you guys for the opportunity to share. Just like you said, it's a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of people are feeling a ton of different emotions right now.
Yeah. Yes.
And we love to have a brother on the show.
Yes. This month, June, is Men's Mental Health Month, so this couldn't be a more fitting time to have you here on our show, especially because right now the focus is on the racial injustices that our men face. We know that we all face them, but our brothers really, really, really feel it. So, Alex, just give our listeners a little bit of background information about who you are and what it is that you actually do.
Okay. So again, my name is Alex Dorsey. I'm a licensed mental health therapist based out of South Central Los Angeles, born and raised in Inglewood, California.
Okay, Inglewood up to no good.
This time we up to some good. So I primarily work with children. I work at a nonprofit clinic focusing within the South Central area, working from kids, Watts, Compton, just everywhere. Mm-hmm. A lot of our kids that are really missed out by the system. And then on the side, I actually have my own private practice where I see another set of clients. I primarily, even with my private practice, focus on Black males. So mm-hmm. all the way from childhood to, you know, some gentlemen that are way older than I am. Mm-hmm. Just to deal with the really tough times that occur in life. So I'm kind of all over the place, but the focus is really just to support everyone that I grew up with or the neighborhood that I grew up with and all the Black men that need support.
We love it. We don't have a lot. I don't want to say that there's not a lot of it, but there's not enough.
Yeah.
There might be a lot, but there's not enough. Thank you for the work that you're doing.
For real.
Because I haven't heard of, I know that it's going on out there. I'm just giving you kudos for showing up and shit, speaking to our men, because it is hard. I don't even know what it's like being a Black man, but shit, my empathy is there.
It's hard being a Black woman, so.
I know, it's even tougher being a Black man. Do you come up or have discussions regarding racial trauma with your clients?
You know what, it's a tricky situation. Mm-hmm. For a lot of the men that I talk to, it's almost and unfortunately like a regular thing. Mm-hmm. So it may not come up in just a regular conversation unless there's a big incident that's occurred. Mm-hmm. So especially within these last 2 or 3 weeks with the killings of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd, I've had those conversations a lot more frequently than, you know, before.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that. Usually the conversations come up when something major happens, but I think the important thing to note with racial trauma is that it happens a lot of times with the microaggressions that we face in the workplace. It happens with the way we deal with people in our neighborhoods who don't look like us. It happens with the way we feel like we need to silence our voices, or we don't want to be looked at as the angry Black woman or angry Black man, or when we get pulled over by the cops and we're nervous and we have to take off our hats when we drive. Like,
it's a culmination of many different things. All these day-to-day things create our racial trauma, because sometimes we feel like, oh, you know, it takes these big instances, mm-hmm. like, you know, like you mentioned, these killings of our brothers and sisters, but every day we're dealing with shit that's triggering.
Yeah.
And we don't even realize it. We just internalize it and keep moving in stride. It's just like, we almost take it like it's just a part of being Black.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm in the workplace, I know somebody might say something to my hair. You know what's so funny?
What?
Somebody touched my hair the other day
at work.
At work, right? And I didn't really know how to feel about it. I was like, a little triggered. It was somebody who was like a white older woman. Mm-hmm. She's kind of aloof always. Mm-hmm. And she was like, germ, like, and kind of grabbed my hair and was like touching it as she was talking. And I'm like, this is a little weird. It kind of felt like a little like fetishizing a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. she was kind of just talking and like stroking my hair. And I'm like, in this part in front of me on my shoulder. And I was like, why is she gripping my hair? It was like kind of brief, but it was so awkward. I was like, why would you come into my personal space like that?
Right.
And I kind of battled myself with in that moment. What about addressing it? Right. Yeah. Like, do I just let it roll off my back? Like, oh, that's just her, you know? Mm-hmm. Or do I say like, you know, you shouldn't be touching my hair. There's moments where I say something against people who I really feel like deserve to be checked.
Uh-huh.
In that moment, I was kind of torn. I was like, I don't know. It was really weird. It was really weird. But things like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's things like that. So triggered trauma.
Yeah.
Right, right. And no, when we look at it, there's a lot of those little responses and some of the larger ones that create this fatigue mm-hmm. that we have.
Yes.
And, you know, just dealing day in, day out with all this stuff. There's this this term, racial battle fatigue. Mm. That came out around 2003 by William Smith. And what he did was is he studied the psychological stress of Black males attending a predominantly white university.
Mm.
And they were talking about, you know, all these microaggressions that occur to them on a daily basis. And sort of what he saw was that all those microaggressions made them feel strained. Mm-hmm. Made them feel frustrated, made them feel a sense of loss. Some of them even began to internalize the racism that was directed towards them.
Mm.
Outside of that, it created some physiological things. So whether it be nausea, ulcers, high blood pressure, like legit racism was literally killing them slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so when they looked at it, they saw that, you know, some of these Black males were dropping out of school and some people were saying like, oh, they weren't prepared. It's not that they weren't prepared academically. They have the brains to get there.
Mm-hmm.
The issue was dealing with the fallout of the racism that they experienced on a daily level was just too much for them.
The environment.
Mm.
That's how I feel battling these white people day to day. I'm fatigued. I'm fucking tired.
That's definitely like how I feel at work because there's only one other Black person there, and I've been the only Black person there for 4 years, and that is a battle. Like even today, like before I clocked into work, although we're working from home, I was feeling some anxiety and dread for how they're going to respond to what's happening, if they're going to say something because they've been ignorant in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it was triggering. I'm like, why do I have to mentally prepare myself on top of everything else that we're dealing with in the world with my aloof or ignorant Caucasian coworkers? Right. Like, why? I shouldn't have to feel like that, but it's the reality and it's how I felt and how I feel. And ignorant comments were made. I'm like, you know what? I'm tired. Like, yeah. I shouldn't have to battle in the workplace.
And battle on social.
Yeah.
We're just triggered in so many instances, so many realms of space. It's like, God damn, you walking down the street, you're triggered.
Yeah.
You in the store, you're triggered. You online, you're triggered.
It's hard to catch a break.
Leave us alone.
It's hard to catch a break.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wished for an extra hour in your day? What would you do with it? Maybe it's finding time for a run, a nap, or simply being there for a friend. But often, life feels like a race against the clock. What if you could carve out time for what truly matters to you? Therapy can be that guide, helping you prioritize what's important and make time for it. Whether it's setting boundaries, learning coping skills, or simply becoming the best version of yourself, therapy empowers you to take control of your life. When I've been called to therapy, it's been during times when I felt like I've needed to really center myself and regain control of my thoughts, feelings, and actions. And let me tell you, it has definitely helped. If you're considering therapy, consider BetterHelp. It's convenient, flexible, and entirely online. With just a brief questionnaire, you can be matched with a licensed therapist who fits your needs. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. Take the first step towards a more fulfilling life with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bravado today and get 10% off your first month. 10%, y'all. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bravado.
Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR's got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure, absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story. But now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling. But with them presenting Black Stories, Black Truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcast.
And a lot of times, you know, when we talk about trauma, really it's that deeply disturbing or distressing event that occurs, mm-hmm. right? So it could be physically, emotionally, sexually, natural events, or anything like that, right? And if it occurs for too long, it can progress into something worse. Mm-hmm. And when, like Brittany, you were saying, like it's just happening for too long.
Yeah.
Really, people that are experiencing some of these trauma responses, imagine running a 40-yard dash, but the dash never stops. The clock never stops. You're running full speed at a level 10, and you just feel tired, and your body is breaking down. And it's like, geez, just like let it end. That way I can get some rest in this situation.
We haven't been able to get any rest.
We haven't been able to get any rest, especially because I think what's been happening right now is pent up frustration, like on the back of coronavirus, right? We've already been frustrated that we've had to be locked up in the houses, right? Like
losing jobs.
Jobs have been lost. The economy families has suffered. There's a lot that's happened in the past two, going on 3 months, right? And then we have people like Amy Cooper, who's fully aware of what she's doing.
How to weaponize race and blackness.
Yes.
Yeah.
How she's sitting up here talking about, I'm going to call the police and I'm going to tell them that a black man is threatening me and, you know, whatever she said. We saw that video. Then we got a police officer killing George Floyd. We have a white man killing Ahmaud Arbery. It's just too much at once. And I feel like we were just like, you know what? No, we're tired. At this point, all we can do is be upset. We're tired. It's just pent up and it just exploded. And so now that's the result of what we're dealing with right now.
This is true.
So a volcano.
Alex, how does trauma, I know you mentioned ulcers and other ways when the study was done, but how else does trauma show up in our bodies, like physically? What does that look like?
So it can be things such as decreased appetite, you know, just having that feeling where, I mean, you just don't need anything. It could be decreased sleep. It could be nightmares, replaying the event, flashbacks. It could be just a constant surge of like energy in our bodies, you know, just feeling uncomfortable and having to move around all the time. And typically that's what we see a lot of times, especially in like the work I do with the kids. I'll get a referral from a school that says, hey, you know, you need to work with little Devin. He probably has ADHD, right?
Common.
But when I look at Devin and I go through his family history and we talk about some of the things he's seen, he's having a trauma response.
Yeah.
That little boy does not have ADHD at all, right? It's just that we aren't necessarily taking the time to acknowledge our histories and our experiences, to really look into where these different symptoms coming from. So we'll see a lot of that physically, emotionally. Trauma can look like anything. So whether it's anger, irritability, fears and worries, a feeling of guilt, you know, that you could have did something differently, or just being numb to the entire situation and everything around you.
Yeah. And you mentioned that kind of like a misdiagnosis with thinking that Devin had ADHD. And as I was reading up on racial trauma, they were saying that that's not in the DSM, right? And so in a lot of psychologists aren't educated about like racial trauma and how it affects the African-American community. So they might not even notice some of the experiences that we've been going through
as traumatic.
Yeah.
Another thing additionally in regards to like research, a lot of these therapists, the white ones, are taught to like not see color or be colorblind. So then they aren't sensitive to your issue because they're taking the all lives matter approach, or there is no, you know, like, oh, I don't see color. This is just like a human condition vibe. Like, no, color is a real thing, which is why I needed my therapist to be black. Dead ass. Because if I'm coming in there, and then it's also kind of hard to be like, girl, these white people at my job.
Yeah.
When they might just be looking like, okay, you're all out prejudice.
That's the responsibility of the therapist, though, to do additional work and like Alex said, to figure out to trying to figure out our experience, like how we see the world, how we navigate through the world, and the things that are directly affecting us, so that you don't think it's just ADHD or you don't think it's something that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Come on, I'm paying you to help me.
Yeah. Like thinking about what Alex said about that, my sister, it's no secret, my sister is a foster mom to two young boys,
mm-hmm.
and they've seen so much, like things that children probably shouldn't see, probably shouldn't have, not probably, shouldn't have seen, shouldn't have experienced in their short little lives.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that they do is a reaction to what they've been exposed to.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Nothing is like, these are just downright bad kids. Like, no, these kids are fighting back against something bigger and deeper that they've been exposed to, that now they have to internalize and try to work through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's admirable to see people who stand with these small kids and try to figure out what the fuck is really going on, because they had those little kids on, those babies on medication. And my sister's like, no, we're actually not. She was getting, I'm not even going to tell her business.
Yeah.
But she was like, no, we're not doing the medication thing. We need to figure out like what's at the root,
mm-hmm.
because they're misdiagnosing these kids. Everybody's on medication. Everybody's, you know, like filling these kids up with a medication, but not really figuring out what's going on. And what's really at the root is, I've seen too much. I've heard too much.
I'm hurting.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, going back to the point, that was brought up earlier, in terms of like education for a number of therapists, each school is a bit different. There is some cultural competency requirement, right? But it honestly doesn't go far enough.
Mm.
A lot of therapists can actually sort of just skate or slide through that whole class and not really get anything from it. And so, like you said, you can get those All Lives Matter, hella tone deaf therapist sitting there. And what I would recommend is advocating.
Call them out.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
I'd be like, hey, Sandy, how do you feel? How do you feel about what's going on in the world?
Right.
And then that'll let me know if you need to be my therapist or not.
Yeah. And honestly, before you even get too deep in with a therapist, I honestly tell everybody to shop around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a consumer. Like you said earlier, you're paying for help.
Right.
Then you should get the help that you deserve and that fits with what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're ever to a place where somebody just isn't on that same wavelength, then bounce and go to the next person.
Period. As I bounce to the next therapist, boy.
Yeah, I'm going to the next therapist. You don't feel me. You don't get me. You don't understand me. I'm bouncing. Oh, and another thing I wanted to say is that what I noticed in the research is that a lot of people who suffer from racial trauma are diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's like, unfortunately, this is not post. Like, presently, I am experiencing stress.
Right.
And so, hopefully, more therapists are tapping in and understanding that it's not PTSD, my brother or my sister. It's present.
Which is still P. The different P.
Yes.
Present tense distress disorder. Right. I don't have present tense stress disorder.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's a terrible name that they give it. And so just to explain it a little bit more is that there are qualifiers that we will put on a diagnosis. So let's say it was PTSD. We can label it as acute, meaning it was just that one incident that happened, or we can label it as chronic, meaning it's continuously going on, or it happened over a long period of time. Honestly, don't know what they're doing in terms of creating the next manual, you know, to change some of these criteria around into how they're updating these diagnoses. But no, I agree. Like you said, it's not stopping.
Right.
You know, every week we're hearing something, we're seeing something, whether it be a killing that's shown on the news, or if it's just a fight video that somebody sent us off of WorldStar.
Yeah,
it's a lot of stuff happening.
There's a lot,
and we're taking it all in.
Yeah, especially with social media. And even like if it's not social media, just like you said, videos get sent to our phone. Like, I've decided not to watch the videos. Like, I didn't watch Ahmaud Arbery and I didn't watch George Floyd because it's already too much for me, and the videos just take me to a very dark place. Yeah. But sometimes, like, you know, in order to inform or just have conversations, sometimes unsolicited text messages come to your phone and it's like, okay, now I've been dragged into this. You know what I'm saying? So it's just traumatic. But we understand that we're dealing with trauma, racial trauma specifically today. What are some ways that we can cope with this trauma?
Set boundaries for yourself would be the first one. So
just so you like probably you said, should stop responding to text messages.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Put them on do not disturb and then sift through after. That's what I do. I'm like, oh shit, I didn't even know that occurred. I'm not, seriously, I'd be a day late, dollar short. Bye.
Right. And imagine, like, that probably saved you some emotional energy. Mm-hmm. And I tell all my clients, protect your energy, protect your space. Mm-hmm. Tell your friends, yo, I'm not in a space to handle anything. Don't send that to me. Mm-hmm. You know, put some blockers on social media if you can.
Yeah.
That way we don't allow that exposure into our life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's generally my first tip. And, you know, it's difficult now because, like you said, coronavirus got us all in our houses.
Right.
And social media is really like our main way to interact with others.
Mm-hmm.
So even if that looks like unfollowing certain pages, temporarily blocking some people, whatever you need to do to protect yourself, do it. And don't feel ashamed about it.
Yes. Don't feel guilty.
Right, right. You know, you can't. I wish somebody would clown me for taking care of myself.
The clown.
In the best way possible.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard.
Right. Other than that, I would recommend trying to be aware of how we're feeling. When we know better, we do better.
Yeah.
And it goes more into accurately labeling our emotions.
Mm.
So if you're asking somebody, how are you? I always tell my clients, don't tell me I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm fine. I want you to clearly use the words. Mm. I'm angry, I'm enraged, I'm sad, I'm pissed off, you know, I'm frustrated. Because that gives me a better sense on a scale of where you are.
Right. Mm.
And when we do that for ourselves, we can then act accordingly.
Yes.
Okay.
There's nothing.
No, I was about to say, people going to be asking me, how are you? I'm going to be like, I'm going to stop saying I'm good, I'm fine, I'm well.
Right.
I'm going to be like, today is not a good day.
Yeah, be honest.
Upset.
Yeah.
Right, right. And, you know, again, you may only want to tell certain people certain stuff.
Right, right.
But, you know, always, especially even if we just do it for ourselves, because if I know that I am sad, borderline depressed, then that lets me know that there are some things I should just not engage in.
Yeah.
Or there are certain activities that I could engage in to help myself feel better or get back to an equilibrium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brittany, what are some ways that you're coping with racial trauma during these times?
I decide to, like Alex said, disconnect. Like, I don't be on social media all day. I meditate. I read. I listen to podcasts. Yesterday, I listened to the verses, and that automatically got me into a better space.
Lifted your spirit.
Yeah. And
yeah.
And I know they said that the Black community relies on
faith
a lot to get through trauma. And I recognize that that's not the only way, and sometimes it's not enough. But definitely that is a tool,
yeah,
for sure,
mm-hmm,
that I use. And Yeah, just laughing, having conversations with my friends on the phone. Yesterday I was on the phone just laughing and hee-hawing for for like an hour, like not talking about what was going on. Mm-hmm. Like, and again, it's like I'm aware of what's going on, but I don't have to talk about it all day.
Right.
So what about you? What are some ways you cope?
Definitely being mindful of how much I'm on the web, mm-hmm. on the internet. Yesterday specifically, I mean, because the George Floyd situation happened on, the murder happened on Monday. So throughout the week, it's been getting more and more tense. And then towards the weekend is when the rebellion started. So it's been even heavier these last couple of days. So yesterday was nice because I was away. I really wasn't on my phone at all throughout the day. And there was live music being played, mm-hmm. which was nice because I haven't been around live music with like instruments in so long. And there was like times where they were playing almost what was reminiscent of like gospel. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I miss being in church.
Yeah.
Like that loud live music and like singing and stuff. So listening to music was really good and helpful, like for my soul yesterday, hearing some good music, being around great people, laughing, interacting, of course, detaching from just kind of all of the conversation surrounding what's going on right now, laughing. Just in trying to enjoy each moment is what I've been finding most helpful to cope. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. Yesterday was a really good day outside of the sadness. So
what about you, Alex? What are some things you've been doing?
Yeah. How are you taking care of yourself
as a therapist and a black man?
Let's see. I've been playing video games with my wife. That's been cool.
Yay.
I just had to go on a run earlier today after listening to the Orange Man talk.
Man.
Yeah. So I definitely had some YG playing through my headphones.
Come on.
one other thing really was to, I honestly had to cancel some of my appointments.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going back to just acknowledging how we felt, I knew in the mental state that I was in, I would not be effective for my clients at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So my clients that were generally doing pretty well and were stable, I called them, let them know how I was feeling at the moment, and gave them the option to reschedule for later in the week.
That was nice.
And that's pretty much been helping out.
I love that. Since you are a child therapist, what are some coping skills that parents can give to try to implement with their children? Because I know a lot of our listeners have children and they're kind of struggling on
talking
how to have
race.
These conversations and also help them process their emotions. Can you share a few coping techniques for children?
Yeah, I honestly think a lot of the coping skills that adults use,
mm-hmm.
children can also use. So also taking them off of TV. You know, we don't know what ads or TV shows they may, you know, click through mm-hmm. while they're watching stuff. You know, checking on them about, you know, social media, you know, deep breathing, writing, art, you know, just some creative outlets are also great for children.
Yeah.
There's a book that I actually use a lot, and it's called A Terrible Thing Happened. Mm-hmm. It's by Margaret Holmes. And in this book, you can apply it to any sort of trauma. What it does, it follows this character named Sherman. And he's a raccoon, if my memory serves correctly. And so he's a raccoon, and apparently Sherman sees something. And we never know exactly what he sees. All we see is like a little caption cartoon bubble over his head with a bunch of scribbles.
Mm.
And what the book does, it talks about how Sherman began to respond after he saw the trauma. It talked about him expressing his feelings through the assistance of a counselor at his school. Mm. It talks about his process in recovering from the trauma.
That sounds like a great book.
Yeah, it's really cool. I use it with a lot of kids. You can use it on, or you can find it on YouTube. There's like a bunch of like teachers that do like story times,
mm.
and you can watch it with your kids and not even have to go out and buy it.
I like that, especially if it's highlighting using a counselor to have these conversations with to do the work, which kind of normalizes therapy and speaking to someone at an early age, because sometimes, well, oftentimes, many kids don't speak with therapists, you know, unless there's something chronic going on or acute happens. So it can seem like a little scary that they're going to see a therapist or going to speak with somebody and their classmates aren't. So that's really helpful. Like, you know, speaking with someone is okay, no matter what age you age is. Everybody needs to be talking to somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
They do.
Right. Correct. I totally agree. Then also one of the other things I would recommend just for everybody is to be a part of a group or to have your tribe or your village that can help validate your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Being heard has so much healing power in it.
Yes.
You know, having a conversation and somebody, you know, just clicking with you brings so much comfort to us.
Yes.
And so allowing, you know, your friends and your loved ones to talk, if you're in that space, to listen and to be effective, but really just to validate that, hey, it's okay. I understand, you know, things are crappy right now, and we'll work together to help each other throughout the situation.
Yes.
Love that.
We love a tribe.
Lastly, right. How can we, as women, Black women, support our Black men during this time?
I honestly don't know what else you guys can do.
Because we've been doing a lot, but we were ready to do some more. Shit.
No, I mean, it's very true. Like, honestly, the amount of text messages and calls that I've received these last couple weeks from the women in my life to check in on me, like, has been fantastic.
I need to send out some texts.
You know, I text my coworker today, my Black coworker, like, I'm here for you, brother. I appreciate you. I support you.
I stand with you.
I see you and I stand with you.
Yes.
Right. And so things like that go so far. We see so many expressions of love from women all throughout life. And especially now, like looking at that, the police officer in Atlanta, where she checked her fellow police officer when he was doing some wild stuff, you know, looking at the mayor of Atlanta, how she's taking control of the situation, their police chief, like, honestly, keep doing what you're doing. And I appreciate everything that you are doing.
Did y'all see that grandma who fell on top of her grandson?
No.
Oh my Lord. Lord, she came out there. She was like 92 years old, big, heavy set grandma, you know,
right.
A traditional meemaw. And the police had their guns on this young boy, talking about he ran a stop sign. It was really a lot. And he pulled up in his driveway and they were like, get out the car. And he had his hands up and his grandma came out with her cane, y'all, and she fell on top of him.
He was on the ground
and she fell on top of him to protect. And I'm like, look at us always trying to protect our,
we really don't play. And even
we don't, she was ready to die over him.
We'll be complaining one moment like these men, and then as soon as somebody tries to come against them, we like, hold on,
that's our men,
period.
Those are our men,
leave them alone.
Yeah,
not on our watch. So Alex, are there any more resources that you think may be beneficial? We know the book, the YouTube, anything else?
So there's another book called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome by Dr. Joy DeGry. She really talks about how the trauma has just continued to pile up, and every generation is taking on the trauma of the last generation. You know, in dealing with all the racist stuff that's happening in this country. There's another book for teens called We Are Not Yet Equal by Carol Anderson, which is another book to read. The only other thing I would recommend is, especially in times like these, take back power. And that can occur in a number of different ways. Whether it be donating to, you know, whatever cause you want to support, whether it be out there on the front lines to protest, or even taking supplies to protesters, making calls to, you know, people who are in control for the moment to demand your rights, or even if it's just to you know, support your family the best way possible to protect them during this time, or in yourself. Really take care of yourself first, You know, you can't take care of others unless you do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Just like they say on the airplane, in case of an emergency, put your mask on and then the next person.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that would be my recommendations.
We love it.
Love that. Thank you so much, Alex, for chatting with us. We really appreciate you and the work that you're doing. Again, can you please let our listeners know where they can find you? He has a private practice, as mentioned.
Yes.
Located in the Los Angeles area. So, Alex, let them know where they can find you.
So you can reach me on Instagram and Facebook at Alex Dorsey, LPCC. My private practice is in Torrance, but everything is video chat right now. So that really should make a difference. Just reach me there. If you're ever looking to find a therapist, I know that the process can be very difficult and frustrating when it really shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always down to help others connect with help. So definitely reach out if you need some support.
Yes. We and ladies, that. Connect your niggas to Alex.
Yeah.
That's what that's basically, if you're listening to this, tell your niggas, hey, go follow this brother.
Yes.
Connect with him.
Please.
Yes.
Man. Outside of that, we need you talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you so much, Alex. Again, we really appreciate you. And please stay safe out there.
Please, prayers. We put the blood of Jesus over you.
Yes,
shit.
We do.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Alex. We'll chat with you later.
All right. Thanks. Bye.